It is a beautiful day. We have so much for which to be thankful. I could not help but think of our dear friends in Colorado who will be braving a foot or so of snow this morning to make it to services, and the cold weather. And then I happen to think about some of the folks here that when it drops below 40, wrap up like Eskimos. But we all can't have the same internal temperature, and I guess I just saved money on buying jackets. I want you to turn in your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 16. We're going to begin reading in verse 13 for our text, reading through about verse 20. And as we open this particular passage of God's Word, we want to think about God's eternal kingdom. There's a great deal of talk throughout the world and at different times about kingdoms, and we know that different kingdoms exist and have existed. But God has created an eternal kingdom, and He prophesied it in His Word, and we'll talk about this. And in fact, that's exactly what Jesus was talking about in His discussion with His disciples on this occasion. In Matthew chapter 16, beginning in verse 13, we see when Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. As we read this particular passage, we must fully be aware of the fact that many people have read it and have misstated some things that were said therein, that they have pointed out improperly that Peter was the rock. We're going to see that that's not the case. They've pointed out different reasons for our Lord making these particular statements. But Jesus' teaching about the kingdom demonstrated very plainly that it would not be like any kingdom that the world had yet to see. They were very familiar with the fact of kingdoms and the fact of the ruling of kingdoms. In fact, they were under bondage to the Roman kingdom at that particular time when our Lord spoke. In Caesarea Philippi, just a short time before His death, Jesus explained some things about the kingdom to the 12. These are some things that we need to be fully aware of, that we need to understand that He's talking about God's eternal kingdom. First, let us understand this kingdom would be undefeatable. As you turn to Luke chapter 1, verses 32 and 33, we must realize that a kingdom that is undefeatable is one who has no end. Now, kingdoms come to an end now. In this earth, earthly kingdoms come to an end. They have a shelf life, if you will. They have a span of time in which they are powerful. And they begin to break down. And they come to an end. The ceasing of that power demonstrated by that kingdom. But as the prophets had foretold, this kingdom would stand forever. In Luke, we see there in verse 32 of chapter 1, "He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Now people have taken that, and they've wrested that scripture, and they've twisted it, and they said the Lord's going to come back, and He's going to set up His kingdom in Jerusalem, and He's going to reign there on David's throne, and He's going to do so forever. And then right after that, they talk about the thousand-year reign. Now, which is it? It's forever. But it's not on earth, nor is it in Jerusalem. But of this kingdom, there shall be no end. Once the kingdom was established, it was established forever. It will have no end. It will cease to exist on this earth because this earth will cease to exist. And the earth and the works therein shall be burned up. Therefore, there will be no place for this kingdom to exist in an earthly state. But it will continue to exist. When did it exist? Well, Daniel prophesied of this as the Spirit gave him direction in Daniel chapter 2. And there in the 44th verse, we see that he told when it was going to come to pass. People today stop and listen to what others have to say. They have preconceived notions relative to the kingdom. And they fail to look at the Word of God and what it says. Daniel was talking, and he'd already described these kings, and he said, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Not only did he say that there was going to be a kingdom coming, that God would set it up, that it would never be destroyed, but he told us when. In the days of these kings. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all of these kingdoms. And it shall stand forever. What part of forever do we have trouble understanding? As we go to Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, we do so that we understand that not just in one place, but not just in two places, but in multiple places throughout the Scripture, Old and New Testament, we find the telling of the kingdom and the fact that it will be indestructible, that it will be undefeatable, that it will last forever. This tells us how it will come. It says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with the judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. We know that Jesus came and John came, and their message was simple. Their message was plain. And their message was directed toward the people of God. And it was, prepare ye the way of the kingdom. Repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand. This is the kingdom of which Isaiah prophesied. This is the kingdom of which Daniel prophesied. This was the kingdom which the Spirit had them speak. And this is because this kingdom would be built upon the rock. Again, we go back to our text, Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. And Christ spoke, and he said, I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You would not believe the ridiculous things that have come out of people's mouths relative to this particular passage. Sometimes people want to say that Peter is the rock. But the rock is given in verse 16. Remember, as we back up a couple of verses, Simon Peter answered and said, when the question was asked, whom do ye say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. There's the rock. There's the very foundation of Christianity. This kingdom is built upon that proclamation that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. None have ever entered into the church having been baptized. In doing so properly, without making the proclamation. The same as the eunuch did. When he said, see, here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And he was told, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he proclaimed this same thing. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the very rock, the very foundation of Christianity. In Romans chapter 9 and verse 33, we see that the Spirit had the Apostle Paul write to these brethren regarding this. Remember and understand that there was a great deal of misunderstanding. There was a great deal of confusion relative to the church, even in the early days. Now, I also want to submit that anytime there's confusion, anytime there's misunderstanding, man is behind it. Man is the one who has decided, well, I don't know that I like it that way, so I'm going to twist it a little bit. I'm going to interpret it my way. I'm going to make it fit me. Perhaps this is why the Spirit had Paul write this to these Romans. As it is written, Behold, I lay in Sion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And in case we do not fully understand, Sion or Zion is Jerusalem, and that rock is Christ. He laid in Jerusalem the rock, the foundation, that upon which the church was built, which is the kingdom. It was started in Jerusalem, and Christ is that rock. We need only to go to the Ephesians letter, chapter 2 and verse 20, to see that the Spirit also had the Apostle Paul write to them about this. And he said, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And in case there's any doubt anywhere in anybody's mind, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, that which ensures that the building is square, that it is stable, that it is solid. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. Also points this out. And there are many people that have tried to build on other foundations. They have tried to build upon their understanding of the Scriptures, their beliefs of the Scriptures, their interpretation of the Scriptures, and said, I'm going to build a church. 1 Corinthians 3:11 tells us, For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. In other words, the only foundation that is sure, the only rock that is solid, is Jesus Christ. There are multiple ways of getting into many kingdoms. There are multiple ways to get into the religious organizations of the world today. But this kingdom for which Jesus Christ died is defended by a keyed entry. It is a secure kingdom. We go back to our text, Matthew chapter 16 and verse 19. He told these apostles to whom he was speaking, after he had asked the question, Whom do ye say that I am? And the answer was given. He said, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And there again, there are many people that have misunderstandings about this. Oh, they say, you know, if the disciples got together, if the apostles got together, and they decided something was supposed to be that way, whoa, stop. That which they were going to bind on earth, that which they were going to loose on earth, has already been settled in heaven. It was given to them to hand down by the authority that was given to our Savior by the Father, who in turn passed this authority down to them, and he gave them the keys of the kingdom, and they opened the door of the kingdom on that Pentecost morning. Whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. This kingdom was so strong that not even the gates of hell or Hades could overpower it. There in verse 18, I say unto thee, Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And he concludes the statement with, And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And there are so many people that are confused on this. There are those that even have the fanciful notion that because the Jews killed Jesus, that they started the church. And that he'll come back later and establish the kingdom. Well, that's the furthest thing from the truth, and the Bible nowhere, anywhere says that. It does teach, however, that the church and the kingdom are one and the same. Notice, if you will, that this kingdom is not man's. Jesus Christ came to die, to become king. Oh, when he was here on the earth, he was not king. You can't be a king if there's not a kingdom. And he purchased the church. He established the kingdom. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This was proven when he came forth from the grave. Did he die? Yes, he did. Was he buried? Yes, he was. Did he come forth from the grave? Amen. He sure did. And then shortly thereafter, the church was built. And we know this because by his own proclamation, the kingdom belongs to none other than Christ himself. We've already read it several times. We're going to go back to it in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. And upon this rock I will build my church. We saw a sign today on a building on our way here They said their services today were at 3 p.m. I said, boy, they just meet at some odd times. Linda says, well, you know what? They can do what they want to. It's their church. Never quite thought about it. They can do what they want to. It belongs to them. Ah. But what about the church that Jesus died for? It belongs to Christ. We go back to the Ephesians letter, chapter 1, verses 20 and 23, through 23. We'll see that he was given that authority. We see there which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Notice the position now that he has, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. God's eternal kingdom is the church for which Jesus died. You want proof of that? Well, all we have to do is go to Acts chapter 20, verse 28, and we see where Paul was meeting with the Ephesian elders. He called them to him. This was going to be the last time that they were together. He was giving them stern warning, warning that is not just simply for elders, but also to everyone who is a child of God, that we're to take heed, therefore, to ourselves. He says specifically to them, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. Now, wait a minute. I thought you said Jesus purchased the church. I did. Well, it says right here that God purchased the church. He did. Know this, that there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And these three agree in one. And Jesus, the Christ, came in physical body, lowered himself, humbled himself, and came and died this terrible death on the cross so that you and I might be a part of that eternal kingdom. But there are some provisions that must be met first. We must also understand that this kingdom has no earthly legislature. In talking to people sometimes, they want to tell you about their church, their religion, or some of the things that are going on. And sometimes they will ask you where your headquarters are. Sometimes they look at you like you're crazy, like you just manifested a horn in the middle of your head when you say, we have no earthly headquarters. What? Who makes the rules? It's not Joe, Bob, and Ralph. God made the rules. And it's in heaven. Remember, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. It's already set. It's already there. The authority is in Christ. We see this in John chapter 5, verses 26 through 27. We see this as this passage is telling us about the authority given to Christ. It says, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of God. I want you to go, and I want you to research all the churches that you can find out about. Better carve out a big block of time. There's a bunch of them. And I want you to go, and I want you to look at who is the one who is established as the head of that church, or who established that church. And you're going to find out that men's names are associated with them. Many of them possibly will tell you where they have their headquarters, what their legal situation is, what their legislature is. But we need to understand that this eternal kingdom that God has given to us has no earthly legislature. Its authority is Christ. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 8 tells us this. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. In reading this, some might be confused when they see just following this, but now we see not yet all things put under him. Well, which is it? Oh, Christ has all authority. All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. We know that in coming and dying and coming forth from the grave, that Jesus Christ conquered death. But he didn't destroy it. Not yet. Oh, you drive by the graveyard today, you see the flowers, you see the sometimes the tents still up from when they had a service yesterday. You think about the people whose hearts are broken because their loved one has departed from this life. No, death still is not destroyed. But that will happen one day. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 24, we will see that this eternal kingdom, which is under the authority of Jesus Christ, will one day be delivered back to the Father, will be given back to Him. It was always the purpose of God for this kingdom to exist. It was always the purpose of God to bring this kingdom into existence in a certain way, in a certain time, and in the fullness of times. But it was always in accordance to the plan of God that it one day be given back to the Father. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall put down all rule and authority and power. Look at verse 25, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. There will be no more death. As long as death exists, this kingdom exists here on earth. But one day, the last enemy will be destroyed. This eternal kingdom will be given back to the Father. And when it is given back to the Father, we know that following this, there is a judgment. And this judgment will be based upon the same thing that this kingdom was based on. The books will be opened. The tally will be taken. And man will spend eternity in the place that he has prepared himself to stand. You know, it's possible today to be a citizen in this kingdom, but you must appeal to the king for it. I'm told if you go to another country and you appeal to become a citizen of that country, you have to abide by the rules that they have set for you to do so. And part of the time, or most of the time when this happens, you have to denounce your previous citizenship. And when it comes to the kingdom of God, there is a way in which you come to Him. Many times people want to go to Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. And they want to encapsulate all of the coming to the Lord, or accepting Him, or receiving Him in this passage. It says, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then they turn around and they, in their own way, in their own church's legislation, say, you don't even have to come to him. All you have to do is believe. All you have to do is accept. It infuriates me when a preacher gets up and says, at this time, won't you accept Jesus as your Savior? What did Jesus say? Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There's also a naturalization process that you must honor. Notice how Jesus said, come, in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. He said, enter ye in at the straight gate. I want you to look at that word as you open your Bible to that place. Notice it is not S-T-R-A-I-G-H-T. It is S-T-R-A-I-T. There's not a mispronunciation or a misspelling there in the Bible. The rest of the verse will tell us what this is talking about. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. The path of least resistance. Electricity follows it. Water follows it. People follow it. The path of least resistance. Jesus said that's not the way to come to this eternal kingdom. Enter ye in at the straight gate. It says, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth into life, and few there be that find it. In order to be a citizen of this kingdom, you have to follow the rules of the king. The mandates as to how to become part of the kingdom. What are these? Well, in John chapter 3 and verse 5, Jesus gave some insight to this as he was talking to Nicodemus about the kingdom that which was yet to come. Jesus answered in John chapter 3 and verse 5, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. This lets us know how one enters into the kingdom. There are many people today that try to claim that they've come in some other way. Jesus himself said, one that comes another way is a thief and a robber. There's just one way. But this kingdom is prepared for all who will be faithful to its king. To be faithful to the king means to bow to his authority, to abide by his rules that he's given to us. And this eternal kingdom is prepared for those who will spend eternity with him. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 34, we see what the king shall say to them on his right hand. He has separated the sheep from the goats. And he says, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared to you from the foundation of the world. You know, when Jesus was preparing himself and his disciples for his departure, he told them, I go and prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. He's provided everything, but not everyone will be a part of God's eternal kingdom. Those who do not obey God, those who do not follow his commandments according to the word that he's given us, will hear the words that we find in Matthew chapter 25, verse 46. Or this can be said about them, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. You know, this kingdom will stand forever. It will always exist. And you say, well, what if the world ends? No, the kingdom still exists. It will still continue. It will just not be here. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 11 tells us that we can gain entrance into this everlasting kingdom. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you want to be part of that kingdom? That eternal kingdom, that for which Christ died on Calvary's cross, that for which he shed his precious blood. As I said earlier, you have to abide by the rules of the kingdom, the rules that have been handed down in God's word, and know that he has provided for us the gospel plan of salvation, the means by which one can become a part of that kingdom. Part of that is one must hear. In John chapter 6, verse 44 and 45, Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him at the last day. Listen, it is understood that he draws us through his word. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Therefore it is necessary that one hear the gospel. One must also believe. Jesus said in John 8:24, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Following hearing, believing, a person should repent, must repent. In Acts 2:38, when these people came to Peter and the 11 and said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Notice what they were told in Acts 2:38. Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Confession also is a mandate of the kingdom. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 37, Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then we're to be baptized. Remember what Jesus said to Nicodemus, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Well, he also said something similar to that in Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And we must remain faithful until death. You know, the sad part about it is there are a lot of people that become citizens of the kingdom and then throw away the benefits of being a child of God. I want to read for you a passage from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 4 through 11. It tells us how that we can guarantee that we can remain part of that kingdom forever. Because we need to understand that those who have heard, believed, repent, confess, and be baptized are granted entrance into this kingdom, but that is no way, shape, or form a guarantee that they will always be part of that kingdom. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the pollution or the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. These things are to be added to us. And it says in verse 8, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Have you not heard these things before? Have you not heard of the kingdom? Do you want to be part of the kingdom? You may. You've heard the gospel. If you believe, if you've repented of your sins, if you're willing to confess before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and be baptized into Christ, you too can be a citizen of God's eternal kingdom. If indeed you're part of that kingdom, but you've broken the laws and separated yourself from the King and from God Almighty, you can come back to Him through repentance and prayer, as is dictated in Acts chapter 8, verse 22. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. You want to be part of the kingdom? Come now, as together we stand and sing the invitation song.